Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Ladies and gents, yes, sir, you guys know what time it is. It's another outstanding, entertaining show. All things covered. Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. Man, we have a treat for you sport lovers out there today. And this is a show, I'm going to keep it real. I'm showing my bias because you guys know before I became a Pittsburgh Steeler, I was a Florida State Seminole. And we're not talking football with the nose on this particular episode. We're talking about softball. If you've been living under a rock in regards to softball on the collegiate level, Florida State, they do what they do. In the ACC, on a national stage, they do what they do. Unfortunately, they came up a little bit short, but who cares? It's still an opportunity to celebrate the outstanding individuals that represent the Noles this year on the softball field. So, Florida State fans, stand up. Softball fans, stand up. Sports fans, stand up. We have the great Catherine Sandercock, senior pitcher, joining me here. Also, Michaela Ettenfield, also sophomore catcher. You talk about the catcher-pitcher relationship. These two know each other extremely well, so I felt like it was a plus. It was a must to get them on the show together. So, girls, how you doing? How you feeling?
Feeling great.
As you see, they spoke together, so that relationship is clearly tied to the hip. But outstanding year for you guys. Before we get into the conversation, right, I was told to give a personal shout out. I'm a fan. I'm a fan of you guys. I'm a fan of Florida State. Anything Florida State related, I tune in. But one of my former teammates that I played with at Florida State, Travis Johnson, he is one of the more faithful, loyal fans ever. He told me, he said, because I told him, I said, listen, man, I'm getting your favorite softball players on the show. He said, make sure you give them a shout out from me. And also, too, his daughter is one of the best up-and-coming softball players in the state of Texas. She will be a ninth grader this year. She will be coming to Florida State softball camp as well. So shouts out to Boney and Travis Johnson. I had to go ahead and do that for him. So you guys got a lot of fans out there that love doing, seeing what you guys are doing. But let's talk about the most recent activity with you guys in regards to the outstanding run. I mean, it came up a bit short, but you know, for both of you guys, and we can start with Catherine first. What was your favorite part of the run this past year with the team?
I mean, all of it. It was an incredible experience. It was, you know, just a couple weeks of so much fun, a lot of just good memories with the team. I think one of my favorite moments, though, is probably when we beat Washington to get to the semifinals. That was absolutely insane. It was just such a pressure-filled game. It was so much fight on both sides. And, you know, it's the kind of softball that you prepare yourself to play, just gritty and so much fun. And then to cap it off with that incredible catch from Josie and doubling her off on second base, just so exciting. That was a really, really fun moment with the team.
Yeah, I mean, personally, it's hard to just, like, pick one standout moment. Like, it's a journey. Like, every year, every team is different. And I think We talk about a lot of the things that happened during the off season, and it's a part of the journey that has took us to that point of our season and being able to be runner up in the national title. As I mean, it's accomplishment itself. It's great feat, and it took a team, and Team 40 learned a lot from Team 39. We talk about it all the time, and I think personally, it's just nice to see the things and the standards that we set in place early in the fall, and holding each other accountable throughout the season and seeing those moments shine at the end of the year. Like, it's not just something that happens overnight, you know, but definitely I get the most enjoyment from my teammates' successes. So I think being a part of Cat's perfect game, I can't really say I've been a part of a perfect game before that, but definitely that one's going to be written down in memory lane for me to look forward to, and can't wait for us to be in a circle together to talk about that to other people. So
it was our perfect game, though. That was us, both of us.
I was going to say that, Kat, I was going to say that because, you know, for you to throw a perfect game, you had to have some perfection coming from your catcher.
Oh, yeah.
No question. She was definitely on point. And Michaela, when you talk about, you know, the togetherness and being with the girls, what was it like to see the support from the community, especially when you guys got things rolling?
Gosh, I mean, it's just been unreal. I mean, we're getting support from multiple sides. I think towards the end of the year, people get more excited for postseason softball, where things, you know, mean a little bit more. But I think us just staying one game at a time, that mentality has been great. But just softball and fans in general for Florida State has grown tremendously. I mean, as you have probably heard, we've got the new seating set up, and now we're getting sold out of that seating. It's just one of those things. If you build it, they'll come. And I think now, like, the talk is, okay, when can we get more seating? And I think just that piece and the growth of the game has been really cool to watch and evolve from the point that when I was in middle school, high school, going to watch Florida State softball games, to now wearing the jersey and seeing that we're on ESPN and just seeing all of the great support from online to in person. And I think it's been a really cool experience so far, and I can't wait to change things once I have to turn in my jersey. Definitely want to leave it better than I found it. And I think I shout out to my hometown. I'm only 45 minutes west from Tallahassee, and just being able to
where is that
in Sneeds, Florida. Have that hometown. I like to say that the coaches got me out of Tallahassee's backyard, but you know, whatever works. But it's been really tremendous, and I think there's been a lot of things both on and off the field that people have supported us of, and it's been really cool.
Yo, Kat, one thing I want to talk to you about, you know, with you being the dominant pitcher, I remember throughout this run, it was a situation where I think the umpire called a ball and clearly was a strike, and you remember what I'm talking about? You kind of said something with the glove in front of you. And
I think when the umpire gave me a ball because I was taking too long. Yeah.
Oh, that's what it was. And what did you say? You remember what you kind of whispered underneath your breath? Do you remember what did you say?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was kind of laughing at myself a little bit because I had made a mental mistake. There was a runner on second base in which I looked to Kocha for the pitch call rather than Michaela, but I looked at Michaela first, then Kocha. So I took a little too long. She had warned me before the inning that she'll call a ball on me. So she did. And then I just kind of laughed at myself. And then I just look at Michaela and I just said, just me and you, babe, because I mean, we do that all the time, constantly throughout a game, but we have such great nonverbal communication that's developed over, you know, several years together in the bullpen, you know, grinding it out day to day. So we really are a team. So at that moment, I knew what pitch was coming. I knew it was a drop away. And I was just like, she's going to swing and miss at this. Just me and you, babe. It's just, you know, let's get it done. So it doesn't matter that there was a ball on her, but that was a fun moment. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you talk trash when you're on the mound? Like, has there been a moment? And the same can be said for you, Michaela. Like, has there been a moment where you kind of like, you know, all right, act like you know what I mean? Don't try me. Like, are you an individual that occasionally talk a little trash?
I don't know about talk trash. We kind of have our own thing. Like, you know, if a batter is getting, I don't know, they think that a strike is a ball or something, or just catch a perfect pitch and Mikhail will just be like, yep, and then throw it right back before the umpire makes the call. Or, you know, a batter makes contact, but we know right off the bat it's a pop fly or something. She just goes, yep, and like got her. So kind of that's always fun. I don't know about a whole lot of talking trash. If we do, I mean, no, I don't know about trash talk. Like we'll be funny or something during scout. Mm-hmm. But I think I'm very competitive, you know, I'm super competitive. So trash talk definitely comes in with that. And I think maybe as a younger player, I was a bit more trash talky. But then I think as I just grew into my career and into who I am as an athlete, it becomes way less about the opponent and more about you and your team and just what you're trying to get done out there. So I think that I've grown into more of just focusing on myself, on my team, on Mikayla, and, you know, what are we trying to do right here instead of like talking trash. But yeah, we'll have some just funny little moments, I think.
Mikayla, what about you? Have you, you know, you had to let them know what's up at any point?
I think it's definitely different. I mean, softball is not much of a contact sport, you know, person to person. But yeah. I think definitely, I mean, there's a reason why I stopped playing basketball at the time because I was fouling out in middle school. That just, I mean, it's just one of those things. Basketball is completely different. I would elbow people, play dirty, trash talk. It is what it is, right? Yeah. But softball's a little different. I think everything's more of like a mental edge and a mental approach. I think it's more of like a silent cat and mouse game a little bit. There's not much like verbalization of trash talk, but there's definitely like a, hey, like you can come at me. You want to try me? Try me. Like, let's do it. You want to go there? Let's go there. But it's definitely not like verbalized as much, but for sure, like it's respecting the game, respecting the opponent. And I think it's at, like Kat said, like there's definitely some moments, like I know for a fact, straight out of the hand, whether if it's going to be ball or strike, that's something, a skill that I've developed over the years. And I know for a fact, whether if it's a pop fly or if it's a home run, and again, a skill I've developed over the years. So it's also like one of those things, again, just knowing and playing the game and just being competitive and playing one pitch at a time.
I got a question for both of you guys. When coach is on the sideline and she's giving all these different hand signals, right? Bam, 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 bam. Is she talking to one person or is she talking to the entire team that's out there in the field, infield and outfield?
Whole field.
I just want to know that person. So is it, say it again?
Whole field. We all have, It's basically, she kind of just tells us what pitch she's calling. And then I always have, if I'm out there pitching, I always have the ability to shake it off. And go to another pitch. But the whole infield, like I think that one thing that's cool about Florida State is that we play the game very smart. That's one of our core values. So, you know, there are some teams that just really rely on their athleticism, which is awesome. But I think it's cool that we have really great athletes who also, we know how to play shifts. We know, we understand pitchers' tendencies. We understand batters' tendencies. We understand situations and we pitch to that. So especially for me, not being a high strikeout number pitcher, I'm pitching to where I know my defense is at a lot of times. So she's signaling what's come into the whole field and they know exactly how to play for that pitch because they know what kind of hits I produce as a pitcher. And then they know how to play for me. We've looked at the batter spray charts, whatever it is, but we play really smart. So that's all kind of, you know, going on in all of our heads, which is cool. And a lot of people don't see. So it's fun.
Gotcha. Okay. Okay. I just wanted to know, cause I watch and I'm like, even in Major League Baseball, I'm like, man, it's a lot of hand signals. It's almost like a minute worth of different hand signals. So who are they actually talking to? But that's definitely good information. In regards to the World Series, right? I mean, the championship, Catherine, clearly Oklahoma is a beast. But can you describe to our listeners and our viewers the type of dynasty that you girls ran into in the finals?
Yeah, Oklahoma, it's truly incredible what they've been able to do for the past, you know, decade, really. And, you know, the championships that they've won, the culture they've created, it's really, really cool. I have so much respect and admiration for it. And they're tough just all the way through their entire team. It's a tough lineup to pitch to. They've got a great pitching staff. They're well coached. They're athletic. It's just like they're just a great team through and through, which is really just great for the sport of softball to see that, and to see that that's, you know, where we're all, you know, it's not about, I think Coach has said this a lot, it's not necessarily about like taking down the machine. It's about how can we elevate our game to get there and to compete and to win. And one thing that I've always believed in as an athlete is to be the best, you got to beat the best. So I don't want to shy away from anything. And so to finish my last career game, going up against the best, you know, they were the best that day this year. So to finish my last career game, getting to put my absolute best up against the best was so great. It was so much fun. And, you know, they got the best of us that day, but it's all you can ask for as an athlete, is just for that opportunity, because you can't control the outcome. So just the ability to go out there and put it all out there, leave it out all on the field. It was really just such a fun challenge. It was awesome.
Yeah. Michaela, for you and Catherine, you can speak on this as well. How big of an advantage is it for a school like Oklahoma? As you just mentioned, Kat, they're so good, well-rounded, but they have an opportunity to play when it's all the marbles are on the table, basically in front of their home crowd.
Well, I can tell you this much. Omaha is in Omaha, and for some reason, I mean, OU, it just happened to be that way, right? ASA Hall of Fame has been hosting the Women's College World Series back when Arizona and UCLA was still cutting it up, and it just happens to be that OU has brought their game up to this level and has been able to compete and win. And again, like what Kat said, like it's respectable, but and it is what it is. Like, it's props out to them. They earned it. They didn't just become number one overnight. It took years, and it took great program, great coaches, great players. And again, like what Kat said, like, I respect them. And a lot of people, I know this has been like the whole thing about them and their celebration, but you don't know what it's like to be a female athlete in that position and being scrutinized for something that male athletes could do on the daily and be okay with. And I think, you know what, they've had a lot of respect and a lot of support from people both on and off the field. And I'm just, again, excited to see like people starting to respect softball and for us to elevate our game.
Let's talk about that for a second. Me personally, being an athlete my entire life, I can care less what gender you are. If you want to talk trash, you talk trash. You know what I mean? If you want to have fun and celebrate, have fun. But there are a lot of people, as you mentioned, Michaela, that allow a little more leeway for the guys than for the girls. How do you guys handle that? And that's why I asked that question early on. Is there any trash talk? Because I'm okay with it. You know what I mean? I didn't talk a lot of trash when I played the game, but if someone wanted to bring the fight to me, I welcome it and I'm gonna swing back. And if I'm swinging back verbally, then it is what it is. But how do you guys handle that disconnect in regards to the leeway that guys get compared to what girls don't get?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. I was just going to say it's really cool, the opportunities that we're getting and the foundation that has been set by so many incredible, strong women before us for us to be able to have what we do. And, you know, I'm about to start my professional career, and just to see how much support and investment there is in pro softball, pro women's sports. You know, everybody wants to get in and invest in women's sports, which is so incredible. And just, I attribute it all to all the women that came before us. But I would say, yeah, it's a constant challenge. People don't, you know, take female athletes as seriously. We don't get the same exposure. We don't get the same, you know, finance. That's huge. I think that if Michaela could agree, if we were men and we were playing baseball, the amount of money that we would be making right now with our skill sets and our everything, like, it's a crazy difference. So there's always just more and more room to go. Like just think about if we could be in the MLB right now and making millions and millions of dollars, if we were men. So it's like a crazy thing to think about, that gender does play such a role in that. But, you know, it's constant. It's what we deal with. And I think that, you know, it's just, it's up to us to continue to grow and continue to create those opportunities for the little girls that come out to the World Series to watch us, for the ones that look and see us on TV, just to be in the position that we're in. It's, you know, it comes with responsibility of being a role model and making your own contribution to the game. And so just continuing to grow the game and create those opportunities for young girls is so huge, because, you know, I wouldn't have what I have, and Michaela wouldn't, and we wouldn't have the opportunities to continue to play and to, you know, make some money off of our sports and just everything if it weren't for the women that came before us. So I think that it's cool that the torch is constantly passed to create more for the next generation of ballers.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we don't get to choose how people play the game. And it's one of those things, like, we control what we control, and what we think doesn't apply to everyone. And I think, like, you can say what you want about them celebrating. I mean, they've earned their right to do whatever they please. I mean, we all put on our pants the same way. We're all just competitive, and we want to play, and we want to play against the best. And that's what has driven us here so far. And I have a lot of respect for it. I know that they've had some back and forth on it, but at the same time, I think there was something, I forgot exactly where it was on ESPN. Someone was like, if you have such a problem with it, beat them. And it's like, one of the things I was like, all right, like, fair. Like, it's one of those things. I think the center of it is just them celebrating the small things. And that has a lot to say with softball in general. Like, it has a lot to say about good elite softball, is being able to take the small things and knowing that a walk, being hit by a pitch, the little things of the game add up and they matter. And OU just happens to take advantage of it, and they definitely do a good job of making the little things, like, matter and making it big. So
I'll say this much, for me, not even having a dog in the race, just want to watch quality athletes do what they've been called to do. I love being entertained. And as you mentioned, people might complain about OU celebrating. Well, the best way to not have them celebrate is to beat them. And right now, they do it a lot. People used to talk about Floyd Mayweather all the time, celebrating and showboating. I mean, heck, he's winning and he's entertaining. And let's go back to a few months ago, right? One of the most watched women's championship game, with Iowa and LSU, right? And the reason why it was one of the more, don't quote me on this, but I could be a little bit off, but clearly a lot of people watched the game, more people than the norm. But the reason why is because you had two legit teams that were going toe-to-toe with dynamic players that talk trash. And we're not used to seeing that, especially from women. And they were going, and a lot of people were complaining about either side, you know, from Caitlin or Reese with LSU. I can care less. I don't care. As long as you're not being disrespectful, right? And we have the actual numbers, 9.9 million viewers, most viewed women's college game ever. Ever. So I love being entertained. I can care less. Right? As long as the respect and the integrity is still involved. Man, you got a lot of people who are simple-minded people who just be like, oh, they shouldn't do that. Why are these women? No, let them have fun. Show your emotion. Because a lot of people don't know what it takes to get to that moment. To be in a championship game, it's a lot of work. A lot of work. And most people don't see the work that you guys put in. We only see game day.
Yeah, I also think people love to hate, and they're going to hate when you're good. Yes. So they're going to hate on everything that they can. So, OU caught a lot of hate for their celebrations and all that stuff. But I mean, I'm always a big advocate for cheer for your team rather than, like, cheer against the other pitcher, stuff like that. But I'm also a pitcher. So of course I'll say that, but I think I like how OU goes out there and celebrates everything. I think it keeps the team energy up. It keeps everybody engaged. And, you know, it's cool to do that to a stadium with all of your fans there. Like, that's, you know, tens of thousands of people, and that's what they're there to see. So I think it's cool.
Entertain.
It's passion.
Entertain.
Yeah, you know, and I think my biggest issue is as amazing as it is, that the LSU Iowa game got so many views, women's sports has been doing this for a very long time. People have mm-hmm. been passionate in this sport for a very long time. People have been trash talking in this sport for a very long time across the board, across all women's sports. It's just happened that we are finally getting the acknowledgement. We're finally getting the exposure and just being able to talk to people that have laid the jersey out before I was here, alumni, and seeing the growth of women's sports in general. Like, you build it, people will come. You get this exposure, people will watch it. There will be more fans of women's sports every day if you give us a chance.
Hey, well said, well said. Michaela, this question for you, because you're still at the university, right? In this era of NIL, what kind of opportunities pop up after a whirlwind season like you guys just had?
Well, I'm still trying to figure that out. See, a lot of things are changing. We're talking about the exposure piece. Gained quite a couple thousand followers overnight. It's just not something you see much. And it's definitely been different. Definitely had a lot of conversations going along. And what can I do to not make just my experience in NIL better, but my whole team and the rest of the women's sports at Florida State? What can I do to help be an ambassador for Florida State University? And I think just, again, getting that across the table, it's all of us. Like, we need more for women's sports. And a lot of people don't like the idea of NIL and how it's been used and fixed for men's sports and how it's like a leveraging tool for recruiting. But I think you can say that, but it's also done a lot of good for things for women's sports. I mean, we're not, we don't get full scholarships like that. Like, we are a percentage sport. So it's definitely one of those things that.
Y'all don't get full scholarships? I didn't know that.
No, we don't. Wow. It's very rare. It's very rare if you were to, but we don't get full scholarships like that. At least some people get money from academic side. People mm-hmm. like combine from what their parents can help out with to academic to athletic. It's very rare to get a full scholarship in softball.
Wow, I didn't know that. Thank you for that insightful information. And
you'd be surprised for a lot of people, they don't know that. So NIL kind of fills that gap of what girls can use to, number one, pay the bills and be able to do some other things with school. I know Kaylee Mudge off of my team, she's using a lot of her money. She's saving it, putting it off for her school post softball, post her career. So it's pretty cool to see that. And I support it 100%. And again, I'm just trying to leave this jersey better than I found it and hopefully be able to get some insight in how I can help women's sports grow from this point on.
So individually speaking, Michaela, quote unquote, Area 51, that's her nickname, by the way, ladies and gents. Area, how did you get that nickname, by the way? Like, what's the background on that nickname?
I never wore the number 51 until I got into college. And my mom wore the number 51. I come from a household of women athlete, and my mom played slow pitch and she wore the number 51. So I decided to wear 51 in honor for my mom, made her cry. It was real sweet. I loved it. And for some reason, TCAM was like Area 51. And then what came, like a little inside joke, kind of got revealed one time when I started to play. And I think our SID put it down as like Area 51 hits a home run or whatever, and it got it out. So it was pretty cool to see that, and something that I would have never thought would have happened from wearing the number 51. But it's been pretty cool.
It's a dope nickname, by the way. And you also had, you said your mom played, she wore 51. You also had another family member that played for Florida State, Teresa, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so you're basically like a legacy player right now for the Noles. When you talk about having a family member play for the university and you're following her steps.
For sure. I mean, some might say following her steps. We talk about all the time. That's one of my closest family members. I have, again, learned a lot from her because she's been in similar situations, but we're two different people. And I'm just happy that you get to see Edenfield on another jersey. Well,
it's dope.
You're here. So, yeah.
That's dope. So, Kat, for you, being a senior, no longer a part of the team, tell us all what's next for you. I heard you just had a workout literally before we started our recording. So fill us in on what's next for you and your outstanding career moving forward.
Yeah, more softball, basically. I'm excited to get out there and play professionally this summer. There are a couple opportunities that I'm lucky enough to get to choose which one is the best for me. There are a couple different pro leagues now. And then I did just come from USA Softball tryouts, camp, whatever the official name is. But I just came from that in Vero Beach and just an incredible experience.
How was the training for you today?
It was great. It went super well. It was so much fun. It's really cool. It was about, I think, 35-ish athletes, you know, 35 of the best from around the country, getting to show up and train a little bit together, get to learn from each other, get to learn from the staff of coaches that were there. And then we got to compete against each other, which was really cool, really fun. It's such a cool challenge. So it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot and definitely made me more excited to get back out there and start playing again.
Okay.
And then after that, hopefully some international ball for me.
Okay. So how does it work in regards to softball players that are, you know, talented enough to take that step to the professional level? I know you mentioned there's some pro opportunities, and that's domestically, right? That's here in our country. Is that mm-hmm. accurate?
Yes.
And then you said internationally. So what is the best avenue for you in regards to, you know, playing to the level of competition that you would like to play with? And also when you talk about compensation, is it better to go international league or stay here in our country domestically?
Yeah. So I was lucky enough to get drafted to two leagues, which is such a dream come true. I was drafted to both the WPF and Athletes Unlimited. So still working out who I'm going to play with this summer. And then I am looking to play internationally in Japan, and they have an incredible softball league set up over there. It's very well established. They have great athletes. I would say that the money is definitely overseas right now. They're just, you know, a longer established league, but they love to have Americans come and help them win. But it's really cool. A lot of my role models have played in Japan, and I've had that dream to go and play over there since I was in high school. So it's really cool that that's all kind of falling into place for me right now. But I would say the avenue to get there is I've you know, lucky enough to have Coach in my corner, and she has a lot of connections, so she's hooked me up with some agents and all of that. But I think that if you want to play, there's opportunity and there's way to find it out. You just got to find the right people to put you in contact with the right people, and then you know, just watch it go from there.
So would you have to be in Japan year round, or is it just seasonal during the season?
Seasonal. So the season is, I believe I would have to spend 6 months in Japan, but it's split in half. So I would spend 3 months in Japan and then 3 months in the States, 3 more months in Japan. Okay. So it works out nicely, because then I also have the opportunity to play in both the Japanese league and an American league.
Oh, so you get a chance to double dip. You get paychecks coming from two different angles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like smart. Michaela, with you returning to the Seminoles. I'm in Tallahassee with the Seminoles. Shout out to Lou. With you returning, right, where's the program headed? You know what I mean? With the success you guys just had, you know, dominating, you know, in conference play, of course, you know, you competed for a championship. You know, where do you see this program going?
Yeah, I mean, fortunate. We have a lot of returners coming back and a lot of seasoned vets, as we like to say. Gonna miss Kat. She was great for us, but she's always in our hip pocket whenever we need her. I know she's just a phone call away. So, and I can say that about a lot of the alumni. And the reason why I have been successful is because I've been working with Anna Shelna. I credit Anna to this day, working with her for 1 year. And then onto that, and working with Kyla Presky, she again graduated off with Kat. So again, two are always like in the hip pocket, right? And leaving the jersey better than they found it. Yep. yeah, but super excited for Team 41. I think, like I said, we got a lot of returners. A lot of our main hitting lineup is going to be coming back. So you'll see definitely a little bit of a different dynamic here and there of spots to fill, I guess you could say. I wouldn't say people are going to, quote unquote, completely replace someone else's shoes in their position. Nobody's ever going to be Cat Sandercock. Okay. That's just underlined. No one's going to be her, but there's definitely going to be someone that's going to be in a FSU softball player uniform. And it's going to be great. I'm super excited.
Let me ask you this question. I'm gonna ask both of y'all, since you talk about Cat and we know how dominant she's been throughout her career, especially a year ago. Who can kind of follow Cat's shoes? Not necessarily saying wear the same shoes, but kind of be in the same shopping area where her shoes were located. Like, who's going to be that person that steps onto the mound and be like, huh, is this basically a dub for us? Because that's how I'm going to keep it real, Cat. Anytime I know you a pitch, I'm like, it's a wrap. It's pretty much, it's done. That's how I felt. I was like, because she is her. So who is going to be her next year for the Noles?
Yeah, I'm so excited to find out. I'm so excited to find out. We have had such a great pitching staff this year. We have a good amount of returners. I think everybody has the ability to step up. Mm-hmm. McKenna had such a great freshman year. I'm so proud of her and what she was able to do in her freshman year. And I think, you know, she's definitely got the talent. I'm so excited to see where she ends up as a senior. But you know, something really cool about Florida State is that I feel like everything comes so full circle. So I think learning so much from Megan King in her fifth year, just set me up for success for the rest of my career. So I'm so grateful for her and just, you know, how she left the program better than she found it. And, you know, and everything that I learned from her being able to pass down to McKenna and Maddie Balk, our other freshman this year, mm-hmm. was so fun. To be in that leadership role, and it's challenging for sure, but it was really fun. And then I think another thing about Florida State is that we get some really great transfers. We had Kylie Hansen, Kaylin Arnold, Danielle Watson. We had some really great transfer pitchers over the year, and with how the transfer portal has really, it's changed the sport. So, you know, I'm sure that Coach O will get some really great transfers on the squad next year. You know, I would think to see a pitcher probably in that, but I think that the staff that is returning is nothing but amazing, and can't wait to see who steps up next year and how all the innings are filled.
Yeah, for sure.
I want to touch into that too. Like, we have an incoming freshman class that's going to be a great addition as well. Definitely young, definitely they're a lot of information coming their way soon, but I'm sure they can take it on. I think we have one of the top five, I think maybe number two or something, recruiting class that's incoming. So, I mean, Coach has done a great job with this program and this culture here, and people, regardless of whether if it's athletes getting recruited in high school or if it's transfers, people want to come and play for Florida State because of such a great culture we have here.
Okay. I love it. Before I let you ladies leave, I want to hit a few superlative questions for you. And this is where I hit you with rapid fire questions. I want your honest, unbiased answer. First for both, right? We can go with the senior first, right? For all of these. Biggest reason you picked FSU?
The coaching staff.
That's tough. growth, like family, the culture.
Okay. Favorite FSU tradition?
I think whenever the band comes out and plays the chop, it's just so fun. Yeah.
I was going to say the fight song.
Yeah. Finish singing the fight
song. Fight. And that one right there, right?
We got the whole thing down.
Yeah, I don't know the words all the way. Forgive me. I'm sorry.
We've done it plenty of times.
Yeah, I can sing along, but I don't know every word. So, but I know we're going to fight. And you spell out Florida State. And I'm not going to embarrass myself. All right. Favorite food spot on campus?
Ooh. That's a tough one.
On campus?
or just let's say Tallahassee. Then if you want to say Tallahassee, I know what my favorite food spot was and probably still is in Tallahassee.
That's tough.
That's so hard. I'm a Burrito Border fan. They support our team a lot. Love okay. going there. You go, Michaela. Let me see if I can think of one.
That's true. Okay, if we're talking smoothies, Smoothie King. If we're talking fresh eats, I got to go Moe's. I'm a Moe's over Chipotle girl.
Welcome to Moe's.
Yeah. That queso, that's just too good. If we're talking like upscale restaurant, maybe BJ's.
Yeah.
Matzo and BJ's. Yeah, if we're making this about FSU, definitely Matzo then.
Well, mine, and it's still there, is Guthrie's.
Oh man.
Y'all tripping. What are y'all doing?
No,
a good gut box? Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. The gut sauce?
Double fries, no slaw?
Double fries, no slaw. Yep, that's the way.
Yes. What we tell? How you can't forget about Guthrie's right there on Tennessee Street? Been there forever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now there's more competition in town. There's a Church Chicken being built.
Zaxby's.
Added a Raising Cane's.
Whataburger is also one of my favorite spots.
Yes.
Whataburger. And they stay open late 30. You know, you can go to Whataburger after the club. They're still open. There's a line.
No, it's the breakfast that opens up at 11 o'clock for me. That's gas.
Yeah, it is. That is. Okay, now we're talking. Last question for you. Best person to have the aux cord on road trips? Who are you giving the aux cord to?
Christina.
Okay, she's the DJ.
Christina,
she's the DJ.
Yep.
All right, shots out to Christina. You've been known to be the best DJ on the team, so the expectations are kind of high right now moving forward, right? All right. Well,
she got the parties. She got everything.
Michaela, before I let you go, what's next for you? Because I want to enlighten the folks in what you do, not just dominating, you know, when you're on the field, but also the makeup, right? You know, tell us a little bit about that whole ordeal with the makeup and what's next, and how can we get some NIL opportunities for you with the makeup? I think that's dope, by the way. Which one of the Kardashians got in the makeup line?
Kylie.
God dang. Yeah, I'm sorry. Why are you laughing at me? Yeah.
That's funny. That is so funny to me.
But tell us what's up, because you got a cool little thing, you know, when you're rocking and rolling, catching the strikes from Kat, but you see, I'm like, okay, that's dope. So how did that come about and what's next?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been into makeup at a young age. I got into RuPaul Drag Race, wanted that confidence. So what used to be more of an insecurity thing, over time just became something I enjoyed to do. I don't have to wear makeup to show up on game day to be locked in. It's not a superstition or anything like that. It's definitely just something I like to do off the field that I've been able to be able to show myself and who I am. It has been pretty cool. So now I do all of these complex makeup looks, and I don't know. It's just kind of fun to add something that's like off the field, on the field, and just being able to like vibe and have fun with it. It's been really cool. So I'm definitely hoping maybe with, again, the exposure piece, like the exposure that we had at the World Series, and definitely been able to do a couple of cool looks here and there. Has hopefully that will pay off a little bit. So we shall see.
I'm
trying to open up some doors, get some conversations through again, not just for me, but just for women's sports in general at Florida State. So opportunities, if they present themselves, I'll definitely make use of them. But as far as I know right now, nothing's too crazy in the works of a makeup line or anything. But if I was to like say a dream goal or whatever, I would love to collab with a brand that could be out at drugstores and same like have something saying it's like game ready makeup line or whatever that piece and kind of add the Area 51 or whatever, but it'll be a lot of fun. I'm super excited.
When you girls are playing a game, do you have like makeup on? Like what's the unwritten rule? Like, do you know, I know you still want to look the part, right? But do how does, I don't know. You know what I mean? I used to wear eye black. That's it. You know?
Oh, now but, there's so many more things going. Like people are expressing themselves, like from what it used to be, just wearing your team color bows to something like similar to what UF has with their sunflower, how it's like designated for like something culture wise of what they like to do to, now people are just having fun. And I think that's the biggest part is like being able to express yourself as a female athlete on a high stage. I mean, you can't ask for much more than that. Just being able to be yourself. But there's people doing some eye black glitter, putting glitter in their hair parts. The hair braids and designs are sick. I love just to show up at our locker room early to be like, so that's how she's going to get her hair done today. And this is how she's going to get her hair done today. And kind of see like the background works of that too. So I mean, again, like I don't think any of that is like a superstition for us at Florida State, but it's definitely something that we like to do. And you know, the whole thing, feel good, look good, play good. So
no question. Well, if there's any reps for Rihanna and her brand Fenty that will be listening to this episode or watching us, hit our girl Michaela up. You know, she's doing some nice creative things with her makeup while she's balling and knocking softballs out of the park. It could be Area 51 line. It could be something dope like that. So 50, holla at our girl.
I can give you the most reliable product review. Let's really test your foundation. Is it game proof? We'll see.
Sweat proof and all that, right? Because you sweat.
Yeah, I love that.
And the helmet too, if it's coming off the helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, heck. We already said Fenty. You know what I mean? Let's go, Riri. Stop playing. Oh, last question before I let you go. What rival do you hate the most? Miami or Florida?
Florida.
Both.
Florida. We don't have to worry about Miami because they don't have a softball team.
Yeah. But, okay. Right. So, yeah.
But now, if I'm watching it from a football perspective, Miami.
What about you, Kat? Football perspective?
Probably still Florida for me because I just love to beat Florida. It's a good feeling.
I hate both of them. I love it. Two knows. But thank you, ladies, for joining me here. All Things Covered. Outstanding episode, man. Catherine Sandercock, man, make sure you guys follow her as she continues her professional career. And we will be seeing her represent our country as well, throwing dimes for Team USA. And of course, she said, you heard her, she's going to be playing overseas, getting that check. She's going to be coming over here, getting that check. So, hey, if there's any opportunities for our girl, make sure you hit her up. And the same can be said for Michaela. She will be returning to the team. What, you can be a junior next year, right?
Yes, redshirt junior. Redshirt. Two more seasons left.
You got two more seniors down there in Tallahassee, you know what I mean, with Guthrie's and her makeup line. And by that time, hopefully, somebody go ahead and introduce her to an opportunity that she can take and go ahead and keep doing what she's been doing. So thank you once again for joining me here. All Things Covered, Patrick Peterson, Brian McFadden. Best of luck to you ladies. I know success is waiting for you. Just go out and claim it. And most importantly, you already know what time it is. Go Noles.
Thank you.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.